Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
The Believe Podcast Network presents the FCS Football Podcast with Joe DeLeon.
Well, let's get fat.
And Sean Anderson.
I am a soothsayer.
Welcome in, folks, here on the Believe in FCS Football Podcast, part of the Believe Podcast Network. I'm Joe DeLeon, joined by Sean Anderson, my former teammate, former roommate at the University of Rhode Island. Sean, how are you doing today? Did you like me not doing the count-in because you decided to mock me?
Oh, are we on? Is that what it is?
Yeah, we're on because
you didn't give me the count-in, so I didn't know if we were actually on or not because I didn't get the 3-2-1.
Well, you counted us. You technically counted us in. Are there more intruders coming into your room?
No, no one's in my room. Just things are falling.
Is there an earthquake in Virginia?
No, there are just noises around me.
Okay.
I don't know.
It's a ghost.
It's paranormal. I did not like anything that just happened in the last 20 seconds. Especially not you not giving me the count in.
You counted us in. You already did it when you were mocking
No,
us.
I didn't. And then I was like, that doesn't count.
You mocked me and did 3-2-1, so I
okay,
I just started.
Let's get to
the
water cooler. Does that mean we're going to start the water cooler right now?
No, because we have things to do
and things
to talk
about.
Yeah,
so you see how much sense that makes?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. So today's episode, guys, we're going to be talking about the nonsense that happened with two top teams. They're constant reshuffling at the top five of the FCS, even the top 10 of the FCS, specifically talking about Eastern Washington and South Dakota State. We're going to take a broader look at who we think deserves to be number one, as well as recapping that Weber State Eastern Washington game. We're also going to touch on Rhode Island because we kind of have to. If we don't, then we would just be doing a bad job if we weren't. So we're going to get to that. Before we do this, Sean, can you just tell our listeners about Bet Online?
Oh, can I do? You know what? No, you did preview me into that correctly. So yes, I can tell them about that.
I did do it correctly.
Decent week. Went up to Lambeau. Put all my money on the Packers. And guess what I did? I won. And even though Washington lost, I'm sitting there thinking, man, still won some money. Sitting here eating a bunch of tube meat, drinking a bunch of beer, winning money, betting against the home team. That's right, home team for me, not where I was at. We're back and better than ever at Bet Online, a new web interface.
Can I cut you off for a second? You love picking against the team that you're supposed to be rooting for. That's all I have to say. We're gonna address that on
Joe,
the second episode this week.
The emotional hedge is a great thing in sports, and I know a lot of our listeners understand that.
You
bet
still
against your team. If
Rhode
they lose,
Island
you win
lose.
Money.
You still picked Rhode Island.
I didn't want
lose.
Them to. Do you think I wanted them to?
And you beat me this week. You would have tied me this week if you... No. You still would have beat me this week, but you still beat me this week with that pick included. You went 9-for-10, by the way.
Howdly-doodly. Of course I did, because
but
I am...
You should
I'm
feel good about
best.
It, because you
I'm
picked
the best.
Villanova, you dick. You should continue the read. No. You shouldn't
Let's
be
go.
Celebrating that. You shouldn't
Why
be
not?
Celebrating
Why can't
that
I
because
be?
You picked against your team, your school, your alma mater. You picked against them. In
we
order
jinx
to
everybody
that
we pick. We jinx everybody that we pick.
You are just a bad
Hey, maybe
person.
Don't lose 44-0. How about that?
Damn, you're going in hot.
What am I supposed to say? I mean, what
yeah,
is
you're
that
not,
a,
wrong.
Is that,
you're not wrong.
I mean, come on.
You're not wrong.
How many 84-7 things did we hear? Comments did we have? Oh, you're from what school? What? Yeah, Rhode Island. Oh, I remember. Oh, yeah. It was, oh, 84. Yeah, I was at that game. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know. You threw a streamer at me. All right, go ahead. How's that feel? You know that we understand how these things go better than anybody. What am I doing a read still? Bet Online.
Yes, you're doing a read. The world's longest Bet Online read.
I didn't cut me off.
Sorry.
You think that was my choice? Oh, thank you. Okay. BetOnline is back and better than ever with a new web interface for the start of basketball season and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Can you tell it's a new read they sent over? Head to the new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code BLEAV50, that's BLEAV50, to receive your bonus. That's something I added myself to all the listeners out there to make it easy for them to understand and use the code. They don't say spell out believe 50. That's something that I do because I care about you and you getting your bets in and you winning some money. From basketball, football, baseball, postseason, NHL, boxing, UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game's... BetOnline, where the game starts.
Nice.
I almost said sports.
I'll give Alex a pass for the read not being entirely updated because he's doing some acting stuff this week. He's on.
What?
Did you know he's an actor, and so he's doing some. I forget, he explained it to me, but I'm definitely going to.
Well, sorry, the charity stripe guys.
Alex is a part of the charity stripe.
Oh, he does the TikToks with them all. Also,
I don't think he does.
That was
but
a joke.
He does like choreographing type stuff for like sports scenes or something like that. He was telling me. Yeah, he kind of is like an extra.
There's a fantastic SNL skit about that. I think I might have sent you that.
If you didn't, I would like you to send me that after.
That's great.
By the way, before we get into the water cooler, Sean, I have to say that there is now this reoccurring bit from our listeners that you're not aware of. They keep sending me links to ring lights. I hope you know that. Can you please buy some better lighting? It's $10. I have had multiple $10 ring lights sent to my inbox. Can I buy you one, please? If I bought you one, would you use it?
A ring light? No. I'm just going to get a lamp.
The lamp.
The ring light stink.
Proper lighting. It's just because you don't want to be a TikToker. You don't want to look like an influencer. That's the only reason why.
What am I getting, Midwesterner Joe here? Is that what I'm getting? I'll explain my ring light theory, Joe. I'm going to need you to add what I'm sending you now into the potential hack of the week candidates. For the first time ever, somebody reached out to me personally instead of Joe, unless this guy reached out to Joe as well. But at least take a look at it and see if that should be a candidate. I didn't want to leave him off because he did not respond to your tweet. Ring lights stink. Ring lights are awful. I don't do makeup. I don't need a mirror in front of me all the time. I think that's how they operate. You get a mirror and you get a light around it. I mean, that's what I've seen from, I got two sisters. They have the lights and they got the mirror and they do it that way. So I don't feel the need to get a ring light. Also,
you realize that most, it is like become an industry standard now that if you produce stuff from home,
what they send
people is ring lights. That's all they send because it's a modern piece of technology that properly lights your face without entirely blinding you. Otherwise,
have you heard the audio from the industry standard? Have you heard what they put out?
That's true.
While we're doing a little bit of housekeeping, I need to get with the VO guy.
Brian?
Got a script. Yeah, I got a script for him.
Okay, let me ask Brian. He was under the weather this past week. We're off the rails already. We're 7 minutes.
What are we talking about? Ring lights? Rails. Yeah, I'm not getting
water cooler. Water cooler. We're going to get to the damn water cooler. I'm tired of listening to you bitch about ring lights.
Oh, okay. Guys, you want to get spicy today on the show,
please,
huh?
Please, our listeners, Sean's DMs are
send
open.
Them all. Send
please
them all to Joe.
Stop sending me the links
send
to the ring
all
lights.
To him.
Send the links.
Make him buy me one. How about that? Make him buy me one.
No, send them to Sean until he buys a ring light. That's what we're going to do here.
I got to buy a mask.
All right, let's pull up to the water cooler. Let's get some water.
Welcome to the water cooler.
Sean, we have to address the first thing in the water cooler, but did you see that our alma mater, the University of Rhode Island Rams, they had a really important game this weekend. They traveled all the way down to Philadelphia, a game that was actually hyped up to a good extent, which justifiably so. It was an important one for if they won, it would keep them in contention to potentially win a CAA title. It would keep them in strong consideration to make the playoff. As long as they played close in this game, they would have been considered a playoff team. Yet the University of Rhode Island decided to travel all the way down to Philadelphia, not with the Patriots playing this time, let that be known, and lose 44-0. 44-0. They lost to Villanova. And Villanova is a good team. They're not 44-0 better than a ranked team. So what does it say about Rhode Island?
I have a theory. They all went to Pat's cheesesteaks the night before and got a bunch of diarrhea and couldn't play properly.
Get that bit. I'm skipping over that bit. Regardless, I'm not addressing that bit. I'm just not. I don't want to talk about that on this show. We're not talking about cheese sticks on this show.
No, it was a dearly owned family thing. You know, that's all. You know,
we're not doing this.
That's it's the funniest joke I've ever told. Joe has no sold it, and now I need the listeners to understand. I told a Furman joke a while ago. Joe no sold that. That's the funniest joke I've ever said on this air on this show. Joe is so tilted
I don't
by
want
it.
The, I don't want
he
the,
cannot. He can't handle it.
I don't want that joke you made to the context behind it to be public knowledge. So I'm just gonna keep that because I can't entirely I am yet to actually 100% verify the validity of it.
Such a liar.
I'm only going off the word of family members. I'm just gonna leave it.
I got some calls to make after this show.
Go ahead and make some phone calls. Every family member has verified it, but I am yet to find proof anywhere else.
All right. Regardless, the game, bloodbath. We were actually, when me and my dad were, whatever we were doing, driving down to Titletown, it was checking the score in the car, and then you see the tweets, Andre Blackett forces a fumble, and they get it on Villanova's 19. Like, oh, yeah, here we go, maybe. And then check the score. It's 24-0. Oh, my God, it's only the first half. And it gets 44-0. I'm like, oh, it's a bad week. It's not good. No one's going to ever say it's good. And every team has them. You know, the Bills lost to the Steelers, right? The Titans lost to the Jets. It happens. Mm-hmm. But it needs to be more competitive, not only for just – the score visually, but actually, no, for that, for the playoff committee, yeah, for the voters, it is imperative. You can lose to Villanova. Villanova is a very good team. They're a top five team. Would you disagree?
No.
No, they're a top five team. You can lose to them and still make the playoffs. Yes. Losing 44-0 completely disestablished. It destroys all of your credibility that you've built up in the first 5 weeks of the season. You lost to Towson. It happens. Two lost teams can make the playoffs. We've seen three lost teams make the playoffs before. It's okay. But you cannot lose 44-0 because that just and they know it too. And I know Ivory sometimes listens. We have other people that listen. So it's just that's just us putting it out there like, we really wanted it to not be. We don't do the homer bit either, right, Joe? We try our best not to.
Right. Well, we do it.
We're
not
just
as
disappointed.
Bad as it's,
you know, it's just because we know what they can do.
Frustration. And yeah, I'm hoping that it's it's not really something that's correctable at this point because they've already dug themselves into a hole. They've already established a really strong start to the season. You cannot come back from a 44-0 loss. They would need the remaining seeds or just the remaining unseeded teams rather that make the playoff to completely collapse and have a bunch of bad losses. They will be lucky to make the playoff in my eyes.
They need to win out.
They need to win out, but like I don't even know if that's enough. 44-0 is something that is just going to be an ugly mark on the game. And I know it was raining in this one.
I'd say the Delaware win negates the Towson loss, right? So then we're looking at one bad loss. I'd say that then that's just my caveman approach to the playoff. I know there's a bunch of different things and that's how it works. And I don't want to spend the whole show talking about this game because we have a lot of other stuff to break down, but they need to win out. And if we do have any people from Rhode Island listening, I'd be surprised because no one voted for us to go to a game there this last year.
Oh yeah. Not a single person voted for us to come home, which is most of my followers are Rhode Islanders. I thought not I anymore.
I thought maybe I'd get a text from Shane.
Yeah, what the heck? Maybe people were just so wow, they're not going to just come to Rhode Island. Maybe that's what it was. I don't
think anybody likes us. I think everybody that knows us is tired of our shtick, and they say we don't want that here.
If we're being real, we were pretty big dicks about some things when we were there. So it is what it is. People hate the success points.
Some of it might have been a little validated, but some of it, you know, the athlete ego thing. You know, it's hard to get past that sometimes.
Yeah, and I'm cool with sticking with it. Sean, can you tell us about this is a two-parter. Can you tell us about the next thing that we might have missed?
Well, speaking of our upcoming trip, I hope this doesn't spurl it, but South Dakota had a bad weekend.
Spurl it.
He is stink on ice. South Dakota loses to Illinois State 20-14. You try to give me the giggles and lambast this show every single week, and I do my best not to let you. Then South Dakota State loses to UNI 26-17. Formidable opponents, not bad losses. Rhode Island loses neither of these games. I'm okay with it. You know, it's not a terrible look, but for the state, you know, you're sitting there like, ah, South Dakota was playing pretty good. And South Dakota State thinking, oh, here we go. You know, Jackrabbits going to see him, ready to see it, you know, all juiced up. And now it's like, oh, all right, you and I just decided to step up for whatever reason and start scoring above 20 points. Whatever the meetings are where you and I says, we're not going to score more than 20 points every week unless we're playing a top 10 team in the nation. I'd love to be a part of it to see what they're doing. I would love to be a part of it to see, hey, how'd you get over 20 points this week against a better opponent? What was it? And how can we replicate this? If I was the AD, I would be livid seeing them score 26 points. I don't care about the win. Scoring that many points against any team after seeing their what they do, frustrating.
Yeah, the irrigation in South Dakota must have been messed up last week, which led to this loss. Something in the water. Guys are apparently down.
The South Dakota loss is
disappointing. Yeah, that was a weird bit.
Get your taters ready.
See, I titled the episode that.
I did. I was mad about it. I couldn't believe it.
Regardless, the South Dakota loss, I'm less upset about. It's a game where I think we just assumed that they were going to win because Illinois State's been okay this year, but good enough to spoil some things. And they did exactly that against the South Dakota team that was surging, that we had high hopes for. But South Dakota State, on the other hand, they had that loss to SIU. I can't believe that they lost to UNI also. Man, I thought that they were going to finish out the season strong and maybe be good enough to be seeded because their one loss was against one of the best teams in the country. But no, I think that kills it a little bit for me. They're still going to make the playoff,
yeah.
As long as they're going to win out. But you
had two losses last year, I thought, right? Going into the playoffs, or did they only have one?
I don't want to say definitively if they did or not. Sean, did you happen to see the brutalization of the Blue Hose, our friends at Presbyterian? Yet again, these guys just don't want to play when they go out there against these.
You know what it is?
FCS teams.
It's the Savannah Bananas. That's what it is. They're trying to play a different game, and everyone else is playing football. That's what it is. The Savannah Bananas can beat up on whatever other quadruple A, 18U team that they want to play. Whenever it's time to play real ball, you know, we're going to see how it really goes. But their crazy overtime rules and all that. That's where we're getting for Presbyterian. And it's entertaining, I'm sure, you know, going for it on every fourth down, not punting, having that crazy-ass coach. It's fine. People will call him crazy until he revolutionizes the game. I think that you only revolutionize the game once you start working laterals into the game and being able to pitch back after receptions and such, and running backs being able to pitch back. Whenever that happens, I think it'll be revolutionary. I think Damon Amendolara had that take about 10 years ago. I think,
which is pretty stupid,
and it stuck with it. You think it's stupid? Okay, just wait. Stupid.
Well, you didn't let me share the score though. So Presbyterian lost to San Diego 69-28. So that's another burger there on the scoreboard. Do you think they let up 100 if they played like a North Dakota State or no? If they played Eastern Washington, is that a 100-pointer?
Yes.
I want to see that.
Would allow it to go to 100 points ever, but. That's pretty damn close.
Wait, I want to pull up this remaining schedule. Okay.
I mean, so they must have given up over 200 points within the last three games.
So to answer that question, okay, I want to recap their season really quick. They beat St. Andrews 84-43. They beat Fort Lauderdale 68-3. They then followed that up with a 72-0 loss to Campbell, a 63-43 loss to Dayton. they lost to Moorhead 38-30, so that's their one good game. Davidson, they lost 70-35, and then 69-28 this past weekend to San Diego. They have Stetson, Valparaiso, Marist, and St. Thomas of Minnesota remaining.
I think on the top of my head, that's over 300 points given up through the season so far.
I don't know how that is. Just
they're on pace. They're on pace to average, I think, what is that, 50 points a game? If everyone else scores,
yeah,
that is bonkers.
I love how like important things happen in FCS football, but we still take the time to talk about Presbyterian giving up 69 points.
So frustrating.
Sean, these last two things are really important. So I'm going to lead in on these just to hit to them. So
what does that mean? What shut the up hell does listen. That mean? All right, I'll kick my feet up here.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Teach me something here.
These go together, and I want to get into them. That was my point. JMU is connected to the Sun Belt in their expansion. Last week, at the end of the week, we did an episode with Jack Fitzpatrick, who was fantastic with the JMU Sports News, and he gave us a lot of really good information. It sounds like that is pretty much finalized at this point. Bill Connolly has been following this story. All these teams were leaving the Sun Belt, so the Sun Belt needed to make some moves, which is a really good, fun conference that plays in that lower southern part of like North Carolina, Georgia. That's where a lot of those teams are. And JMU is the team, justifiably, that has been linked to be a replacement school. And I thought that this was a perfect fit. They get to play against some other former FCS schools that have been successful at the FBS level, App State, Coastal Carolina. I'm very happy about this one, Sean. I think that this is exciting. It is always going to be promising to see FCS programs move up. It's disappointing on our end to no longer to be able to cover James Madison. But here is what is basically sounds like a lock for them to move to the Sun Belt.
Yeah, it's not a terrible conference to be in. I mean, Coastal Carolina, obviously, last couple of years been ranked nationally. Louisiana, Raging Cajun, has been ranked nationally. I think last year they might have peaked at like 21, I think. Regardless,
like that.
It's a good conference. It's competitive, and they can go in there and immediately be competitive. And then we'll have more scholarships available to be able to do this and that. It's fine with me. People have been asking for it and clamoring for it here in Virginia for a while. Maybe this will satiate them. Maybe it won't. Maybe it'll get them. I don't know. I mean, it's not a lateral move by any means. We just know what the CAA brings to a team in a conference. But if the time has come, the time has come. You know, they got a big stadium, big fans, big fan base, send players to the NFL. It makes sense. It just does. You know, they have an infrastructure that's built well. So when you have that, why not expand and, you know, get a little more money?
And we knew that they were on this trajectory. They were always a good program. But then, like the last decade, there was a fat emphasis on build the hell out of the stadium, upgrade the facilities. We're going to pour everything into this. And it's a perfect school for it because at the FCS level, as we know, fans are not always that committed. Like, okay, so here's an example. When I first got out here, I was talking to somebody who went to Furman. And I was like, oh, you guys have a really good football program. And their response is like, we do. And so there are programs where people don't really follow the football teams, even though they're good. But James Madison has that rabid fan base like Coastal Carolina, like App State. So I think it's a perfect fit. So the wake of this conference realignment has really screwed Conference USA because all these Conference USA teams are just leaving. And Conference USA has always been the worst conference in FBS. And it's, frankly, I think worse than some FCS. I think if you put like the Missouri Valley Football Conference against the Conference USA, I think that they win in a head-to-head tournament if you had to do something like that. I don't think it's a hot take. You look at the remaining teams right now, it really would not take much for that to happen.
It's a pretty hot take there.
But right now, CUSA is in desperation mode where they're probably just going to offer anybody that's willing to come. They're trying to get Liberty, which probably won't happen. It seems like Liberty's trying to actually get a good offer.
Are they going
to
get Death then?
They're going to get what?
Patrick Henry's quote.
It took me a second. I don't.
Yeesh.
Can we end the show? Can I just? Yeah. I need to go sit down. That was bad.
That's silence speaking volumes right now.
I'm going to take a deep breath and we're going to continue. They try to get Liberty. Apparently, they might get UConn and UMass, which speaks to the level of disparity and the desperation that this conference has. But there were some FCS names I saw thrown out there, and I'm probably missing some because I was scouring for it, and there's so many freaking different names that it's hard to keep track of which ones are the most relevant. The two that I remember seeing the most recently, I think I saw Sam Houston mentioned in there. Missouri State, which makes sense because of Bo Pelini, who was previously the Louisville head coach. You can see that transition. It makes sense. But the one that pissed me off, and even the athletic director of this school made it public that they're going to make a push for it, is that Tarleton State was thrown into the conversation. And this to me was like, okay, this is a bunch of crap. Because this is exactly what we talked about last week. That the teams with the athletic directors that have the relationships established are always going to get the leg up in these situations. And I am thankful, and I honestly think that a school like North Dakota State or like Eastern Washington or a South Dakota State that's a good football program wouldn't stoop to the level of Conference USA that they'd be willing to join it and they'd rather just wait. But Tarleton getting the FBS invite already, that doesn't sit well with me.
Yeah, they would have been in the FCS longer than we've been doing, or shorter than we've been doing this show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's, I don't like that one bit. What dues have they paid? Are they good? They're not good.
No, I don't.
They're not a ranked team.
I haven't heard a damn peep about Tarleton State season.
Let's check every score. I have not seen one Tarleton fat player stat line that has been close to being on Fat Stats.
They are currently only beating sub FCS schools. They don't even have a full FCS schedule, and they are being considered an FBS program again. It is simply based on the connection. And honestly, go ahead, Conference USA. There's a reason why your conference is a joke. Go for it. I'm not trying to diss Tarleton. I'm not trying to diss them. Oh, okay. Go ahead. Go ahead, diss them.
They stink. they came up from D2, and now somehow they're just going to say, oh, we're too good for FBS or FCS. Oh no. Actually, Joe, I'm tripping because they beat South Dakota State last year in the finals, so they can go up, right? Oh, no, wait. No. But they lost in the first round of the playoffs, right? Oh, wait, no. Did they not make the playoffs? they didn't make it? Is that what I'm getting word. Oh, they didn't make the playoff, but how would that happen? You know, wouldn't going up to single, you know, what? No. Oh, no, they stink. Oh, it's a dumpster fire. Oh, and now they're going to. How desperate could CUSA be if that's really the case?
Well,
Tarleton's. Oh boy, let me get.
They do have the most defiant win out of any FCS program in the last year, which is a 43-17 win over New Mexico State in their first ever FCS game in the spring.
Bro, apparently that was enough. Montana beat Washington.
That New Mexico State win is a big deal. You got to take that seriously.
Are you doing a bit? You're doing a bit. Of course you're doing. I couldn't see your face because I'm doing some reading here.
Because you're in the dark,
dude. Oh no, Joe. They lost to Eastern Kentucky 20-3. Oh, that's not too bad. They beat New Mexico Highlands 40-21. That's a big one. Mm. They beat Fort Lewis 54-7. They came close to beating Stephen F. Austin. They lost 20-10. Oh, they kept it close to Southern Utah. They lost 40-35. Yeah, that's awful. They play Sam Houston State this week. Put him on. They're on FC estimates. And the next week they are there or next show. They're on FC estimates.
Please walk on radio, guys. Please make an example of them. Please. And don't Sam Houston, don't go to Conference USA. We don't associate with them. We don't like Conference USA.
I'd be cool with it. Over Tarleton.
Yeah. Yeah. Sean, let's get to our headline this week. So I want to quickly touch on the Weber State Eastern Washington game, but I want to have a broader discussion here on who the heck are the actual real top dogs in the FCS right now, because it is impossible to figure it out. I'm done trying to be definitive. It's impossible, but we'll give it a shot. This Weber State Eastern Washington game, though, Weber State wins 35-34. And the most glaring stat line, I don't need to read a single other stat line from any other player. Eric Berrier somehow got bottled up. 19-39, 245 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 1 interception. He also rushes for 85 yards and a touchdown. And the only reason why that they lost, because Eric Berrier put the team on his back. He had no open receivers. He was trying to do everything. He had nobody to get the ball to. They couldn't run the ball. Everything was locked down. Credit to Weber State, who continues to frustrate the living hell out of me, because every time I try to tell them that they are done, they decide to say, no, we are not. But they lost. If you didn't see this, folks, they were down by two scores. They come back. A bunch of great plays happen. Eric Berrier is back to Eric Berrier things. And the freaking kicker on the game-tying touchdown is handed the layup extra point that any kicker is more than capable of doing. The ball comes in. Snap is fine. I believe the laces were out. And Buddy shanks it. I'm not even going to validate this dude by looking up his name. But how the hell do you miss the most important kick of the season against a team that you're supposed to be beating? They lost single-handedly because of that. I hope it's not too aggressive.
It's not. It was a fluky game. Weber State had some tricks up their sleeve. They schematically were getting a lot of pressure on Berrier throughout the game. The defensive backfield for Weber State matched up very well against Eastern Washington, really, apparently. Well. And that's just the team that they were looking for to get them, going again, even though they gave up 34 points. Regardless, the kicker missing the kick, I'm not going to beat him up too much because that's what everybody does with the kickers. You win the game without having to rely on that. We're all good. The concept of losing that game in that fashion is frustrating, given that it really was a one man versus 11. And we're not making this out to be a Berrier suck fest every week. He's just phenomenal, and this is what we're going to do. I remember Trey Lance, and when he was at the FCS level, how would you not talk about him in this fashion? And it's frustrating, because as soon as we think we have the landscape of the FCS and who's really going to be taking it and who's going to be going to the playoffs, something like this happens, and you're just sitting there like, what's this mess on our hands that we have to navigate?
Yeah, we got some hack takes about how Eastern Washington's just going to completely collapse and fall apart. But it's frustrating to figure this stuff out. And I think you described that game perfectly, where in a game that they realized, all right, we're going to literally shut every option down, and we're going to tell Eric Berrier, try to beat us. Because they didn't really even have much of a pass rush. Like, it felt like they weren't really getting after Berrier to an extent where, like, guys were coming in unblocked and he was getting popped and they were blitzing him. They dropped freaking everybody, which is kind of the Iowa State defensive approach that worked last year and works from them when they play these highly prolific offenses that put up a lot of yardage and numbers. That was the approach. It's drop as many guys as you can, play really, really good coverage. Just let this athletic, smart, talented quarterback stand there and overthink the hell out of things. And that's kind of also the approach we're seeing with bottling up Patrick Mahomes in the NFL. And it's what you have to do when you're dealing with the best player in the country. They did it really well. This is a well-coached football team. And I'll admit, I was a bit too negative on Weber.
No, they did it well enough to be tied with Eastern Washington.
Yes, yes.
That's not,
actually a good point.
They did it well enough to tie. All right, yeah. So if we're talking about credit and what's due, a fluke kick away, we're in overtime, and I think we can guess who would have won that game.
Oh, Eastern Washington would have. They have the stamina to completely outplay them in overtime. I'm immediately picking Eastern Washington.
It shows to me, and I know you got a point just cooked up, but it shows to me Berrier was able to take the team from the clutches of defeat, rally them up, tie the game, get them to overtime, but it didn't happen. It just didn't happen, and now it's going to be a loss in their column no matter what. Weber State should have been tied going in overtime. So if they're taking victory laps doing this and that, congratulations, I guess. I don't know. I can't be too high on that, given that it was a 35, it should be a 35-35, and you also gave up 35 points in a game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the one thing I just wanted to close it out with, as somebody who was a former specialist, when I see a specialist make a stupid mistake like this, I'm going to lay into you harder than anybody. You don't miss those kicks. You can't miss those kicks. That is something that you drill in practice every freaking day. And if you can't do it, you shouldn't be playing. That is a mistake that you can't correct. If you do not have the mental fortitude to just hit a kick in a layup, we're not asking you to hit a 50-yarder, dude. We're asking you to hit an extra point. We can't keep missing these kicks. That was so disappointing to know that a specialist cost them that game when Eric Berrier did everything that he could to put them back in position to win.
What are you going to do? Good win, Weber, I guess.
Yeah, good win, Weber, I guess. Sean, I want to wrap this up before we get to Fat Stats. Who do we actually believe deserves to be considered a top team?
Princeton.
Shut the hell up.
6-0 or whatever.
Shut the hell up. In all seriousness, though, this is now becoming very tricky to really figure out because we're getting these teams that have won loss that are starting to creep their way in. Kennesaw's coming all the way back. UT Martin, you see them creeping in. Jackson State, 6-1. Montana State's looking really, really good. But I think if I had to actually pinpoint who really has caught my eye and who I think is actually the legitimate contenders, Sean, I'm throwing these names out there. Sam Houston State, though, who for whatever reason keeps getting bashed despite them playing really strong so far. North Dakota State, another team that for some reason people continue to say is not a valid top team. They still deserve to remain in the conversation as one of the best. Southern Illinois has proved it, especially with that South Dakota State win. And then I'm also tossing in Villanova. I need the remainders to prove themselves. They're not far off, but I need them to prove themselves.
I think Eastern Washington's proved themselves. I think they have as a true contender. That's who else I'll throw in there. They just have the best player in the country. So with that,
but what if when they face in the playoff North Dakota State, who has a really good defense and a really well coached defense? That is going to do this is going to look up that Weber State film and do exactly what they did. They're not going to win the football game.
I beg to differ. I think both teams can learn from that situation. We forget that Eastern Washington can also learn from how they gave up 35 points to Weber and then also how they were bottled up to only 35 points. It's a big number.
Yeah.
I don't know. 35, you score 35 points in a playoff game. You score 28 points in a playoff game. I'd be content with that. I'd be content with that if I was any team. So, look, I definitely would have to include Eastern Washington into the true contenders list. I know they got the top four all solidified, but that's what I got.
I think some of these other teams too will prove themselves a little bit more, and it's crazy to say at week eight. It's really tough to pinpoint, but I know that everyone loves to just assume that North Dakota State and Sam Houston, despite them being undefeated and people want to claim that they had a soft schedule, I don't think that's really true. I don't think it's very fair to assume that they're not that good. They both have good defenses. They're both strong teams. So we need to give them the credit where it's due. I'm all in on both those squads. And Villanova really proved to me, too, this past weekend for beating up on our Rams that they might be the best team in the CAA this year.
It's possible. It's definitely possible. They also beat JMU. So you look at it, you're like, oh, all right.
Right.
Pretty good. Pretty good series of wins they just had.
They're going to win out. I think that they're going to win out. So that then crowns them the top team in the CAA. We'll keep updating and sharing our thoughts on that stuff as the season goes on and we get closer to playoff time. But Sean, can you share with us some fat stat? What the hell is this first fat stat that you put up? What the hell is that? Read it.
I cannot believe that you are hating on this list. It's a shorter list, as you had asked
that
for.
That first one is terrible. Just read it.
Incarnate Word's Cameron Ward.
Incarnate Word's Ward.
39 for 59. 455 yards passing. That's great. Step on me whenever you can. Two touchdowns passing and three interceptions. He obviously is the entire offense, and that's pretty fat for me. You throw the ball 60 times, 4.5, and then two touchdowns, three picks. That's the guy. That's a pretty fat stat. That's just a stat that lets me know this is all they have. Next on the list, what's your big beef with that, Joe?
The three picks and only two touchdowns. I don't like that ratio.
That's a fat number of picks. Next on the list, Sacred Heart running back Malik Grant, 34 rush attempts, 186 yards, and two touchdowns. Issues?
No.
Ooh, okay, good. Jackson State wide receiver Malachi Weideman, next on the list, 9 catches, 169 yards, 4 touchdowns.
Oh,
You okay over there? Okay, or can I do my segment?
You can do your segment. I can't hype him up.
God. I don't. I'm reading, so I can't see your face. So you're just making noises. Yeah. It's just. I'm looking at the doc. Yeah, I'm hearing. Oh, I'm like, okay.
You should be doing more of a Rick Ross. Oh. Go ahead. Continue.
Next on the list here, Stephen F. Austin, wide receiver Xavier Gipson. I think is his second time on our Fat Stats list this year. Congratulations. Yeah,
his name looks familiar.
8 catches, 208 yards, 2 touchdowns. You get over 200 yards receiving, you're going to get some consideration for this list. And finally, let's wrap it up here. Central Arkansas, they faced Lamar this last week. Let's all remember this. They faced Lamar.
Running back
Darius Hale, 22 rushes, 253 yards, 4 touchdowns. We've had people ask, why pick against Lamar? It's because they do stuff like this. 22 rushes, 253 yards, 4 touchdowns.
That's got to be the winner. It's got to be the
winner. Winner.
People say that Lamar's not a running back, but Darius Hale definitely is with that stat line.
Okay.
All right. Certified FCS hack of the week. We've got some good candidates this week. So Sean had a DM sent to him from Dan, my man. Eastern Washington is washed. Hot take for the show. Eastern Washington will get shut out at Portland State on November 20th. So, wait, wasn't Portland State the team that Chris Hammond did that bit?
I don't know why they're affiliated with all the hack, but I like it.
Like, what?
Also, I had to take a literal breather from your Lamar joke there.
It was a good joke. It was creative. You've never said anything that creative on this show ever.
Oh my God. Check.
You've never said anything that creative ever.
Check the tapes.
I'll go that far.
Portland State is getting the Bill really Hader, Dan Cortez treatment right now. That's what he's getting. that's what they're getting. For whatever reason, that's the team that the listeners have locked onto as, if we say Portland State, maybe we'll get mentioned. You probably will.
It's just so random. It's like
stupid.
It's funny when you do the UConn bit for FBS because they're a dumpster fire and those kids don't even want to be playing right now. But where did Sac State even come from? I just don't understand where that reference became.
I don't know. Portland State's just all right. If that's we're going to use as our comedic fodder, so be it. Good work, Dan, my man.
That is not the winner, though.
No, it is not.
So I've determined that, and we leaned into the issues and we spoke on the Rhode Island loss. Everyone this week decided to do the same bit. So we've got a couple hacks, and we might be missing some because there were so many people that did the same freaking bit. So everyone who did the bit about Rhode Island, you're considered to be a hack this week. So the three ones that stood out to us the most. Colin Sutrick, surprise, surprise. You will be able to make an omelet with all the goose eggs that you or I will continue to receive. Does
Yummy.
That mean lay?
Goose eggs, omelet with all the goose eggs that you receive.
You receive? Shouldn't he mean lay, not receive? Bad bit. Bad joke.
Bad boo. Hack.
ACAB for cutie on Twitter. I think that's still his handle or his name on Twitter. He made
Tyler
the claim,
Cheek. You can call him by his name in case you
I didn't know if he
it.
Wanted to go by an alias or not, but that was previously his name on Twitter.
Fun fact, Joe thought Tyler Cheek was in middle school and didn't think that he was an adult a couple years ago when he was been. You know, I just want to make that known just for everybody out there.
You're a dick.
Great listener of the show. P1, very helpful, very supportive.
You're a dick.
Joe thought that you were like an eighth grader when you first started listening.
You're a dick. Why did you have to do that? Why did you have to air me? What did I do to deserve that?
You stepped over Fat Stats.
I'm going to remember something dumb that you've said.
A thousand things. Go ahead. I'm shameless, brother.
There's got to be something.
He actually called me a couple times. I actually said, I think he's older than that. And Joe actually was adamant about saying, I don't think so.
Stop it.
And he couldn't tell that he was a grown man.
Stop it. It's so disrespectful to him.
Yeah, it is.
It was a mistake. I didn't know.
You could call him by his real name. He is a friend of the show, is what I am confident enough to call him. And then you are going to give out his you, like it's not like
Stop!
You can't say Tyler Cheek.
Can you? Oh my God. You know what? Hack of the week is Sean.
No, what is that? You can't choose
hack
that.
Hack of the week.
No, I don't get to be hack of the week.
No, there is a code that you have violated because you and I say stupid shit to each other because we make mistakes constantly to peel back the curtain.
All the time.
Constantly.
You think stuff I know every FCS team?
Everything, stuff that we cut out of the show too, that we make mistakes. Off air, it is constantly making mistakes.
We're not cutting my mistakes out of the show. Let's make that be known. I am as transparent a broadcaster.
I think we have had to before. I'm pretty sure that we
okay,
have
if that has happened, it was very young. Have we done it in the last year?
No, but we did do it early on. And this mistake was early on. So you unearthed.
No, we were like a year in.
You just unearthed.
We were like maybe 2 years in, actually.
You just unearthed an early mistake that I made because I didn't bother to actually check his profile, and I went off of his profile picture, and I'm sure, Tyler, that people say that you look young for your age. I thought that you looked younger. It took me to literally find your LinkedIn to find out that you were...
He thought you were 12.
Stop! God!
You couldn't tell by how he was tweeting us?
You were literally the worst. Sean's the hack of the week. I'm not reading anymore.
I'm not hack of the week. No, I'm not.
No, you don't get to pick because you just violated the broadcaster code.
I need you to call friends of the show by you could call friends of the show by their names. That's what it is. He's a friend of the show.
You violated the code of being a broadcast partner that when one of us makes a mistake and it's off air, we don't address it on the show.
You told your first girlfriend about me pooping my pants in a dining hall. Without permission. So you want to talk about breaking down the friendship barriers. I don't want to hear it. That's not something that leaves the bros. And then for some reason I'm hearing about, oh yeah, she was laughing at that story. I'm like, oh, I guess that's public knowledge for her to be told before I even said it on a show.
That was a mistake. That was a mistake. And I owned up to that mistake.
Well, now you have the chance to own up. You've also just owned up to your Tyler Cheek mistake.
Fine. God, I hate you so much. We're almost at 50 minutes. Jesus Christ. All right. Well, his take was he made a take a couple weeks ago that Rhode Island is only winning two of their last five games, and he claimed that it is heating up. And then we had Dustin Helton and Jamie Williams, who have been very nice to me the past week. I spoke to both of them in the DMs, and they're both very, very friendly and had some good conversations. But we get Jamie coming in here. This is the worst one of them all, in my opinion. Rhode Island football is good, is his obnoxious take. And then Dustin Helton said, oh, I was going to do that one. So thanks, guys.
Oh, double hack. Yeah, double hack. There.
The double team. These guys, bad bit. I'm still pissed at you. I'm still really pissed at you. I had a good thing with this setup that I had with the hack Rhode Island takes, and I'm posting a poll tomorrow, and everyone is going to decide if you're the hack of the week or not. No, forget the poll.
No, I'm sure they will be.
Forget the poll. Forget the poll.
I started the hack thing, so we could... Okay, go ahead.
Forget the poll. Our listeners have been consistent after we publish episodes that they either DM us or they tag us in tweets by saying something that they thought of the show. So today's assignment for everybody who listened. If you agree with me that Sean should be the hack of the week, please tag both of us and say along the lines of, yes, Sean should be this week's hack of the week.
And if you think that my actions in the last 5 minutes have been justified, why don't you tag us and say that too? Because I think I know one person that will.
you don't get the benefit of the doubt. What one person will?
Probably Tyler Cheek.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Colin. Colin doesn't like me, so Colin's going to do that anyways.
I can't wait for the post-show meeting. I can't wait.
The level of disdain. This show started out as a 20-minute twice a week to this is now 50 minutes of shouting.
Hitting our stride.
And talking about poop.
That was a one-liner. We didn't have a conversation about it.
All right, we need to end this. I'm sorry, everyone, for who had to listen to this crap.
It's a pretty good show, I thought.
We're praying for you, as always. Subscribe. Rate if you're not tired of us in our endless line of just terrible bits. If you like that we're total idiots and meatheads, though, give us a positive 5-star review. Thanks for listening. At Joe DeLeon, at Sanderson Radio. Don't follow us. You probably don't want to. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.